Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on the Monday broadcast. Hope that you had a great weekend, and I hope that the Lord was with you in a special way as you went to church yesterday and celebrated His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You know, that's why we go to church every Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Sometimes people ask me, well, why don't we worship on Saturday anymore? Saturday is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was fulfilled in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is why we gathered on the first day of the week, and it really is a time of celebration, right? As a matter of fact, we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, right? So we're gathering together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We gather together to encourage one another. You know, there's something special about encouraging one another. And I have discovered, even in my times of struggling, even in my times of discouragement, those are prime times for me to encourage somebody else. You know, this morning as I was driving up to Newport News, and I know a lot of you, maybe you're listening to me and you're on 664 or 64 or 264 or 564 coming off the base. Every morning I make my run up to Newport News, and today as I was getting ready to go into the Monitor Merrimack Tunnel, and I know you know where that is, and maybe you've been stuck on that tunnel. Well, sure enough, traffic stopped. And I don't usually get filled with anxiety, but for some reason, as that traffic stopped, all of a sudden I felt kind of anxious. And I said, what in the world am I going to do? I've got my son in the back seat, and I'm feeling kind of anxious sitting in this traffic. And I said, you know what? I said a little prayer. That's what I did. And then I encouraged myself by encouraging my son. I started talking to him, and this big truck was sitting next to us. Maybe that was why I was feeling kind of anxious, because, you know, you could feel the vibration from this big diesel truck that had all these concrete blocks on it. And you could actually feel the vibration from that truck right next to us. And so I started to share with my son. I said, look at that truck. It's got big bricks on the back, and it's got one of these things on the back, very end of the tailgate. It has a lift. And I said, you know, they take that lift off that truck. And I says, you know, you're pretty strong, Seth, but I don't know if you could carry those bricks off the back of that truck by yourself. But that crane that he has on the back can easily lift up that load. You know, after I got talking to him, it's an amazing thing that happened. That anxiety went away. So I did two things. I prayed, and then I ministered to somebody else. That is the key, I think, to overcoming stress. You know, God created us in such a way that we need community. One of the most difficult things about this coronavirus is that we have been separated from one another. We don't have that opportunity to encourage one another. And we have a men's ministry. As a matter of fact, all of you men who are listening to me today, I would love to invite you to join our men's ministry. Every second Saturday morning of the month, every second Saturday morning of the month at 7 a.m., we meet at the Hickory Ridge Community Church, and we have breakfast together. And guys, it's a high cholesterol breakfast, okay? I mean, it's a breakfast that has bacon and sausage and eggs with cheese in them. And we have a lot of gravy to put on the biscuits, and we have orange juice and coffee and everything that you need to clog up your arteries, okay? And so we have a time of fellowship, breakfast together, and every month we have a different guest that comes in and speaks. And the goal of our ministry with our men is to sharpen one another. You know, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man will sharpen another man. So you are welcome to come join us. You don't have to be part of the Hickory Ridge family, but if you want to come and you look on our webpage will always remind you of who is going to be at that event speaking, and we'd love to have you come and join us, okay? Second Saturday of the month, men, come on and join us for a great breakfast and a great time of fellowship. Well, we are wrapping up today our study on the book of James. And if you are a longtime listener, you know that we started going through the book of James a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was over 4 months ago we started going through the book of James. And when the coronavirus hit, I felt like we needed wisdom for going through some times of difficulty. And so what we did is we began studying this powerful, powerful book of James. And I have really enjoyed going through this book with you, and our congregation has really enjoyed going through this book. And as we look at today's study, as we wrap up today's study, it may take us 2 days to go through this, but we're going to cover as much as we can, and if we don't quite finish it up today, I'll finish it up on the broadcast tomorrow. But as we look at James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, I've entitled it Slow and Steady, right? That's what you need to be, slow and steady in this dysfunctional world. And today we want to talk about how to pray and how to have that power to push through difficult things. But before we do that, I want to kind of give a summary as to what we have already learned in the book of James. So we learned, first of all, that we are to be maturing as followers of Christ. And we learned that we grow up, and the way we grow up is by being positive even when we're under pressure. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." In other words, as we grow up and trials come, they are inevitable. Trials will come, and they're going to come, and they are multifaceted trials. James reminds us that we're to consider that pure joy, genuine joy, not fake joy. Not I'm going to put on a joyful appearance, or I'm going to put a smile on my face, not suck it up, buttercup. Joy that is genuine. James continues on by saying, because you know that the testing of your faith develops, here it is, perseverance or patience, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. James says on in verse number 12 of James 1, that we are blessed if we persevere under trial. Why is that? Because as we persevere under trial, it is showing that we are receiving from God something very special. It's called the crown of life. Did you realize that an indicator that you're a born-again believer is that you are blessed because you can persevere under trial? You don't give up. You stand the test of time. You have that resilience. You have that tenacity about you. And it's not something that is fake. It is something that is genuine. It is a gift that is given to you. And the more you understand the benefit of this gift, and the more you persevere going through difficult times, the more you are positive under pressure. Well, the second thing we learned about the book of James is not only that we grow up by being positive under pressure, but we learned that we also grow up by being sensitive to the needs of others. In other words, we stop being a globehead, right? We stop thinking that the world revolves around us. James chapter 2, verse number 8 says this, "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as you love yourself, you are doing right." In other words, as I grow up and I understand the law that is given to us in Scripture, the royal law is this, that I love my neighbor as much as I love myself. Then I'm doing right. I am sensitive to the needs of others. I am actually growing up. You know, we are blessed with 5 children, and I have discovered that one thing that I did not have to teach my children, I did not have to teach them to be selfish. They learned that one on their own, right? They have a selfish nature. We all have a selfish nature. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin, and in iniquity were we conceived, and we have this selfish nature by nature. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we become more like Christ, we no longer spend all of our time consumed with thinking about ourselves. We are now thinking about others. Well, there's a third way that we grow up. We grow up by being positive under pressure, by being sensitive to others and their needs, but we also grow up, and this is a tough one, okay? We also grow up and more mature in our faith by managing our mouths. Now, that's a tough one, isn't it? We're in James chapter 3. James says, you know what? We stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is the perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, don't you love how James put this together? James says, you know, we're stumbling all the time. And how do we get over stumbling? We get over stumbling by never being at fault at what we say. In other words, we manage our mouths well, and as we manage our mouths well, our feet are going in the right direction. We're doing the right thing. All the way through verses 3 to 11, James talks about the mouth, and he talks about how we can be involved in negative talk, and that affects us negatively. You know, we learn from Ephesians, and this is a verse, as my kids were growing up, I made them memorize this verse, okay? So maybe you're listening to me today, and you're having trouble with one of your children, and the problem that you're having with them is that they have a problem with their mouth, and I'm not saying they're necessarily cursing, but maybe they cop an attitude with their mouths. Well, Ephesians 4:29 says this, that we are to hold a tight rein on our mouth, by not letting any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. That's no negative talk coming out of my mouth, but only that which is helpful in building up others according to their needs. So this is a sign of maturity, right? An immature person will cut somebody else down because they feel so badly about themselves. But a mature person will lift up somebody because they feel good about themselves. This is a gift of God. This is a sign of maturity, that we're able to manage our mouths. Number four, we grow up by being peacemakers and not troublemakers. Wow, this is pretty powerful stuff when you think about what James is saying in James 4:1. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from desires that battle within you? You want something, you can't get it?" Now, next time you get in a fight with your spouse, ask yourself, why are we fighting? What is the source of this quarrel? Where is this fight coming from? I promise you, it is coming because you want something and you can't get it. And you think your wife or your husband ought to be doing something that they're not doing. It comes from that desire that battles within you. But if you are maturing in your faith, you realize that I've got to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Now, notice I said peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. Now, we're not going to go along to get along, but we are to make peace. As much as lies within me, I'm to be at peace with all men, especially those of the household of faith. Well, there's a fifth earmark that we have in our lives as we begin to mature. We grow up by being prayerful and patient. Those two go together. It's an oxymoron to say, I'm a prayerful person, but I'm not a patient person. No, because as you pray, God gives you patience. James tells us in James chapter 5, beginning at verse number 7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. As you know, we consider blessed are those who persevere. Verse number 11 of James chapter 5 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So I want to encourage you today, if you are needing patience, increase your prayer life. If you are needing patience, understand that God is going to bring pressure into your life, and that's not a bad thing. Right? We all know the expression when it comes to bodybuilding, no pain, no gain. If we're willing to have pain for gain when it comes to building our physical bodies up, how much more should we be willing to experience a little bit of pain spiritually so that we can grow up and be stronger? James is reminding us here that we grow up as we are prayerful, and as we are prayerful, we have perseverance in our lives, and as we have this perseverance, we are patient with others. Well, that's kind of an overview of the book of James. And so let's talk about this subject today of prayer, and we're going to have to finish it up probably tomorrow, but when you think about this subject of prayer, there's three things I want to share with you today in the broadcast. Number one would be, when should I pray? Number two is, what kind of person can pray? And then number three, I want to cover the subject of, how can I pray effectively? Now, these words are coming from James, the half-brother of Jesus. As a matter of fact, James was given a nickname. Maybe you were given a nickname as you were growing up, and I was given a lot of nicknames as I was growing up, some of them not so positive, but I had a lot of nicknames that people called me, and even to this day, I have different names, and based upon the name that you use when you're talking to me can pretty much indicate who you are. For example, if somebody says, hey, chap, I know that that's somebody that I'm connected with somehow through my prison ministry. And if somebody says, hey, pastor, that's generally one of our church members. If somebody says, dad, well, that's one of my kids. And if somebody says other titles, then I kind of know who they are. And I know that if they're my family member, my family always call me Cal, not Calvin. And so you say, hey, Cal, I know you're probably a family member that is reaching out to me. Well, James had a nickname, too. You know what his nickname was? Camel Knees. That's right, Camel Knees. Now, how in the world did he get that nickname? Old Camel Knees was given to James because he spent so much of his time on his knees. They became calloused, they became hardened. Maybe you're listening to me today, and I shake hands with people a lot. Now, can't do as much now because of the coronavirus, but usually if I shake hands with somebody, I can tell what kind of profession they're in. If their hands are hard and calloused, they're probably in construction. I have a guy that used to be part of our church, and he installed carpets. And as I would shake his hands, they had calluses on the outside of his hands and on the inside of his hands, and he had calluses all over his knees. He was kind of like Camel Knees James, right? Not necessarily from praying a lot, but being on his knees a lot, installing carpet. So as we think about this matter of praying, You know, the Bible has so much to say about praying. There are 225 verses that use the word righteous in the NIV Bible, the New International Version of the Bible. But there are over 500, that's right, 500 references in Scripture to this matter of prayer, praying, how to pray. And so we got a lot to learn about praying today, don't we? Well, here's the first thing about when I should pray. Number one, I should pray when I am emotionally hurting. James says, and we're in James chapter 5, if anyone is in trouble, he should pray. If anybody is happy, let him sing songs of praise. Now, James Dobson said this, we Americans generally want to think of ourselves as good people. That, in many respects, is where the trouble begins. You see, when you think about trouble, trouble is going to come our way, and it's going to constantly come our way. As a matter of fact, I say that you're always in one of three places in your life. You're always either in the middle of trouble. Now, I spend a lot of time there, and probably you do too. Or number two, you're coming out of trouble. Or number three, you're getting ready to go into trouble. And the reason that is because we are sinful people. Now, I'm not saying all trouble is directly related to a personal sin that you have committed, but I'm here to tell you the reason there's so much trouble in our world is because there's so much sin in this world, and we are living in a sin-cursed world, and we are a sin-cursed people. In Psalm 50, it says this, verse number 14, sacrifice thanks offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and I will honor you as you honor me. Somebody once said, the trouble with trouble is that it usually starts out as a whole lot of fun. As you think about your life, maybe that's what you're going through right now. You are hurting emotionally. And the reason that you're hurting emotionally is because you've gone through and there's some things falling apart in your life, and now you find yourself in trouble. That is a great time to pray. You know, there's another time that we ought to be praying, not only when we're hurting emotionally, but also when I'm hurting physically. James put it this way in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that prayer that is offered in faith, I love this, right? That prayer that is offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Isn't this wonderful to know that when we are sick, we can get the elders of the church, and by the way, this is just another great reason to be well connected with the church. Because when you get sick, you want somebody to pray for you. When you are feeling physically sick, you want somebody to be able to anoint you with oil and to pray over you. And that is somebody that is a righteous person. And generally speaking, elders and pastors, hopefully, are the righteous people within your church. James tells us that you will be well. The Lord will raise you up. You know, in John chapter 5, Jesus heals this man at a pool of Bethesda. Jesus found the man at the temple and he said, see, you are well again. This guy wanted to be healed. He couldn't get to the pool. Jesus knew he wanted to be healed, so Jesus heals him. And then he says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. So when you think about healing, and you think about what God does to us, God brings us healing so that we can go on in a new direction. You know, as we look at this matter of sickness, I think there's three kinds of sickness that we can encounter. The first sickness would be that sickness that will cause us to die. One day, and I promise you, 100 years from now, none of you will be alive. 100 years from now, I won't be alive. Because we're going to experience a sickness that's going to take us out of here. 1 John 5, 15 to 17 talks about that kind of sickness. And verse 16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask him, and he will give him life to those who commit not a sin leading unto death. But then John says, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. And so there is a sin leading to death. There is a sin that doesn't lead to death. And one day we're going to get really sick and we're going to die. That heart of yours is going to start pumping and the blood is no longer going to be circulating through you and you are going to die. You know, you think about death. One day every one of us are going to die of heart failure. Our heart is going to stop pumping. There's a second kind of sickness. And there's a sickness not only that is related to death, but there's also a sickness that is related to discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we learn the instructions that we're to be following while we celebrate the Lord's table. And Paul, as he's given directives to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Why do we spend so much time examining ourselves? Because we are told that we can enter into this point, and if we enter into this point without examining ourselves, we can find ourselves being judged by God. And he says, that is why there is many among you who are sick. There are many among you who have actually died because they ate or drank of the body and the blood of Christ in an unworthy manner. So sometimes God disciplines us, and that's why sickness comes into our lives. And I know that's not a popular topic at all in our culture today. But there's a third reason for sickness. And this is probably the one that should bring us most cause to rejoice, and that is there is a sickness for God's glory. In John chapter 11, and as you're listening to me today, I know that you probably know a lot of verses, but you definitely know John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus wept. Now, the reason that Jesus was weeping because he just lost his friend Lazarus. And as Jesus is preparing to raise Lazarus up from the dead, we discover that this is done for the purpose of bringing God glory. Jesus did the same thing to the blind man in John chapter 9, and this man was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, well, who sinned, his parents or this man? And Jesus' reply was, this man was blind so that I could be glorified through him and that God could be glorified through him. Now, isn't it amazing to know that sometimes we can be sick and God can say, I want to be glorified through you. I have a friend and he has been healed 2 times of cancer. Now he has cancer a 3rd time. And so we are praying for him. And you know, every time God has healed him of first 2 times of leukemia, and now he's got another issue with his kidney. They removed his kidney and there was a tumor on that kidney. They found it was cancerous. And I am fully believing that God's going to raise him up again. But the amazing thing that I've loved about my friend is every time that God has brought about healing, he's always been very gracious in giving glory to God. And God gets the glory. You know, there's certain attitudes about healing. And we want to talk about healing in the broadcast and how to pray about healing. But I find there's kind of 5 different attitudes about healing, and I want to see where you kind of fall in on this in your understanding or your attitude of healing. The first attitude would be the attitude of the sensationalist, okay? And this is the person that believes that as I get healed, I'm able to report this to the crowd, and I'm able to manipulate everybody, and it's very sensational what is happening. And the problem with this is that the glory kind of comes back to the one who brings about healing. And I'm always a little suspicious of faith healers. I got to be honest with you. I believe that God heals. I don't have any problem with that. But I am always a little suspicious of these people who claim to be faith healers because it's always God that brings the healing. It's not that person. You know, they say, well, come to me. I'll lay hands on you and I'll heal you. And God hasn't given that ability to us. God brings healing. And so the sensationalist is one that really will use healing as a way of manipulating people. Now, Jesus never healed anybody to manipulate them. Number 2 would be the attitude of the confessionalist. Now, the confessionalist will say that it's, as you think about this matter of healing, that it's never God's will that we are sick. And if we are sick, there's a problem with our faith. We would call these individuals the name it, claim it type of people. And they would say that sickness is always a result of sin. And all you need to do is claim your healing and God will bring about healing. And if you're not healed, it's because you're lacking faith. And as you think about this, if I don't get healed, maybe it's because I just don't have enough faith. Where the result of that is that I'm always feeling guilty. There's a 3rd type of healers, what I would call the dispensationalist type of healers, and those are the ones that say healing was a gift only for a particular time. Well, I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fourth type is the rationalist. And those are the people who say, you know, this sickness, it's just all in your mind. If you're ill, it's because you think you're ill. Just deny it and you'll be okay. And then the last would be the realist. And that is the one that recognizes two facts about healing. And I want you to tune in tomorrow on the broadcast, and I'm going to give you the two facts of the realist and how they look at healing. And then we'll get into the matter of how we can pray fervently and how we can know how to pray within God's will. So thank you so much for listening today. I pray that you are safe today. I am praying for you as you go up and down the highway today, that you are safe, that you are healthy, that you are strong. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. I will see you tomorrow.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.